In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I begin with two separate encounters I have had in the last week. The first was with a person I will call Tom. He is not part of Redeemer, at least not yet. Tom has been very involved for many years with his current church, but recently he has been feeling more and more disconnected, both from the church and from God. "Caroline," he said, "I feel spiritually isolated and discouraged, like I am in a theological desert. I miss the sensation of being alive with the Holy Spirit." The second encounter was with a person I will call Dick. His story contains similar elements to Tom. He has been away from this church for a number of years. Not because any one thing drove him away, but basically other pieces of his life became more a part of his routine. I would say he simply got out of the habit of church, not an uncommon event in our busy, everyday, ordinary lives. He recently attended a funeral at Redeemer, and that awakened a yearning to re-engage with his parish. Last week, David preached on the parable of the lost sheep. He began his sermon saying, "Sheep do not mean to get lost. A fuzzy, friendly one is grazing in the middle of the field somewhere, moving from one tuft to the next. Before you know it, he begins nosing some grass on the edge of the pasture by the fence, spying a nice clump on the other side of the fence. He stumbles through an old tear in the wire and finds himself outside on the road. Sheep don't intend to get lost, but they nibble their way off track. Sheep don't intend to get lost. They nibble their way off track." And that is how David ended that paragraph. In my separate conversations with Tom and Dick, I could not help but think that they are two examples of fuzzy, friendly individuals who indeed have nibbled their way off track from church. Neither one meant to get lost. Neither one was mad at the church or angry at God, but now they find themselves feeling on the outside and experiencing a growing desire to get back in, whatever out or in might be. Frankly, that is a human image to denote an active or inactive member of a church versus the theological reality that God is always where we are, inside and outside, active or inactive. I told each of them during our time together that I was very optimistic that they would indeed achieve their desire to reintegrate their lives and spirit within a faith community. The fact that both Tom and Dick were aware of feeling in their own ways, but aware of feeling a bit of spiritual discomfort, is in and of itself a strong sign that God is nudging them. And the best part is that they are reacting to that uncomfortable awareness. Each senses an inner voice tempting them to respond. Both went home with a copy of the Chimes, and I invited them to tiptoe back gradually, perhaps one program or one service at a time. Trust in the slow work of God. So we have the backdrop of the parable of the lost sheep last Sunday to the parable of the dishonest manager this Sunday. This very complex parable, some call the most complex of all the parables, has any number of theologians offering their competing expertise about its significance. To summarize the story in contemporary terms, a dishonest manager is about to lose his job because he has misspent his employer's assets. Because he does not want to do manual labor or receive charity as a result of his actions, this manager goes around to all the people who owe his employer money and offers to reduce their debts. He does so that they will be hospitable to him after he loses his job, which is his assumption for his actions. However, to our surprise, the employer does not fire him, but rather commends the manager for his wisdom, for at least trying to reduce the debts. The gospel ends with the final verse. You cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and wealth. I think there are overlapping themes between last Sunday and this. Using Tom and Dick as examples, they became aware of a gap in their faith life. There was something missing, and they want to change. They want to realign their priorities as it pertains to work and church. They want to rebalance their daily lives with their spiritual lives. Likewise, with the dishonest manager, for a period of time he was focused on gaining wealth illegally, but then an external event reoriented him towards the good, so that he too attempted to partially mitigate his former ways in order to lead a better life. Was he completely successful within the story as we hear it? No. But the manager took some steps towards retribution, and the landowner rewarded him for his change of behavior. Neither are we successful all the time in serving God. The dishonest manager symbolizes our human frailties. We share that struggle on a daily basis. And like the landowner, God recognizes our efforts. The ending verse, "You cannot serve God and wealth," is the tagline for both Gospels. We are unable to be vulnerable to the workings of the Spirit if we are totally immersed in the workings of the world. Maybe we can talk and walk at the same time, but I sure can't listen to that still, small voice of God when in competition with the shrill of commercial consumption. It is an ongoing challenge as Christians to find an equilibrium between our human desires and God's desires. Distractions from the world are distractions to the Spirit. Playfully, I want to end with some words from that great songwriter, and some would say pop theologian, Bob Dylan. It is from his song entitled, "Gotta Serve Somebody." You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to decide which somebody you serve. You may be a businessman or some high-degree thief. They may call you a doctor or they may call you chief. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame. You may be living in another country under another name, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to decide which somebody you'll serve. You may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, but you're going to have to decide to serve somebody indeed. You're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to decide which somebody you'll serve. Amen.